Well, good morning, you guys. How are you doing today? Hopefully you're doing well. Thanks again for pressing in this morning. I'm going to give a quick plug this morning, and then I'm going to move into my message. I had told myself that I was going to do this morning at Westside Elementary. If you're looking for an opportunity, okay, we talked about lost people this morning. Kirk was praying for lost people. Westside Elementary is in need of paraprofessional substitutes. And so if you're looking for an opportunity to bless lives and make some money doing it at the same time, I would love to encourage you to get in contact with me, and I'll point you to one of our secretaries, Becky Steen, or to Jill. She's an awesome person in the office as well. And we'd love to see you there helping out at Westside Elementary. And so if you need some green or need a mission field, let me know, because it's a great place to work, and you get an opportunity to bless and be blessed every single day that you walk through the doors of that, okay? So that's not a shameless plug for Westside Elementary. It's just that's a need right now, and wherever there's a need, there's an opportunity. You bet. All right, well, I don't know about you, but I have been loving our family series. I have been loving every single message, because it's jam-packed with such great content, okay? And I don't say that to butter Kirk up, and I don't say that to, to grease my wheels here at COC. I say that because of what happened last week, where I get a message saying, your church is like one big family, okay? That is the goal. That is the goal, is to cultivate that kind of culture here. And so I love getting that message, and I love the messages that have been portrayed here. And so when I knew that I was going to have another opportunity to speak during this series, I was pretty energized. I was pretty excited, all right? And so I just want to do a little bit of a review. We're going to be talking today about transactional versus transformational relationships, or I subtitled this Motivation in 3G, and we'll get to that Motivation in 3G part here in a little bit. Okay, but I want to start with a review regarding agape love. This is where Kirk started his message last week, and he spent a lot of time here, but he spent a lot of time here rightly so, okay? Because agape love is a big deal, okay? And there's a lot of passages in Scripture where we use that word love, and it's based on this word agape. Okay, well, what is agape love? Well, Kirk said it like this. It's a self-giving love that gives without demanding or expecting any sort of repayment. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that loves even when it's rejected. And it's not easy to love when you've been rejected. It doesn't need anything in order to love. I liked this part. It gives because it loves. Okay? It's not because it's receiving something, so therefore it's loving. Okay? It gives because it loves. And it doesn't love in order to receive. It is this selfless placing. And we've been talking about this a little bit on our Wednesday night series that we just finished up. But it's this selfless placing of your needs above my own. And this part is the hard part of this all. It always costs you something. Agape love always, always, always costs you something. Okay? There's a cost with this kind of love, but take a look at that last statement there. Even though it always costs you something and you don't get anything in return, it's never wasted. And I don't know how that hits you, but that hits me pretty hard. It is never wasted. And think about that. Like, how many of you have ever wasted money on something? Anybody ever wasted money on something? Yeah. I remember when, do you remember when Amazon came out with the Kindle? And we could have these e-books, these electronic books, because for some reason paper was too difficult to manage, okay? And so we had these things called e-books, and you could get these e-readers, and they were really expensive when you first could get them, okay? And I remember I was getting ready to do, I think I was getting ready to sand down our floors in our main floor. We were remodeling our house at the time, and it was Thanksgiving break. And I was teaching at time. I just finished coaching football for the season, and so now it's Thanksgiving break. And how do you spend your Thanksgiving break around your loved ones? I was going to spend mine sanding my floors because it was my weekend. I could go to Menards. I could get the sander on Wednesday night, sand the floors on Thursday after dinner through Friday, and Friday morning I could hopefully get it back up there. So technically, I'd only have to pay for one day with the sander. Okay, that was my goal. Right? And so I get to Menards that Friday, not realizing that it was Black Friday. And Menards, believe it or not, it's not necessarily the greatest place to be. It's a great place to be, but it's not necessarily the greatest place to be on Black Friday. And I remember they had these e-readers, you know, that came from China, or who knows where they came from, right? But they were like super cheap because it was this Black Friday deal, and I needed a Christmas present for Trisha. And so I thought, all right, I just saved some money on the sander because I finished. I'm going to turn this in, and now, hey, guess what? Now I got some money to spend, and so I'm gonna get my wife one of these e-readers, and it's going to be great. And I bought it home, and she used it once, and the thing was so glitchy. And such a pile, and I'll not finish the rest of that phrase. It was such a pile that I think I burned it in the pit. I was so frustrated because I wasted money on that, and I don't like wasting money on anything, right? Because I bought something in an expectation that something was going to happen, right? I paid money for this. It should work how I intend it to work, kind of thing. Well, agape love, it costs you something. In fact, at times it's going to cost you everything. Just going to throw that out there. But it's never wasted. It's never wasted because there's no return expected. You're not waiting for a return with agape love. You give it because that's what you do. You give it. It's not intended to receive anything. And so if you're not expecting anything in return, it's never wasted. It's never wasted. And if you've ever felt like you've wasted love on somebody, chances are you were loving for the wrong reason. I'm just going to say that, okay? The love you were giving was a different kind of love, okay? And Kirk can explain those different kinds of loves. I just want to focus on agape. It's never wasted. Okay? So agape love, it sounds difficult, right? It sounds difficult. Actually, it's impossible. It is impossible apart from God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, right? And that's the thing. That's why this love is so emphasized in Scripture, okay? When Jesus said the great command to love the Lord your God with all your whole heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, guess what root he was using for that word love? He was using a form of the word agape. Okay? It's impossible, though, apart from Holy Spirit working in my life. Okay? And that's the key. It sounds difficult. It's actually impossible. But guess what? Okay? Nothing is impossible apart from God. Nothing is impossible with the Holy Spirit. Okay? With God, all things are possible. Okay? Okay? So through his intervention, through Holy Spirit, we can actually achieve agape love. I got a tough question for you today. I love starting with tough questions. I usually save these for Tuesday mornings with Kirk. But I love tough questions. What does God owe you? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Now, some of you knew the answer, or at least you're able to verbalize the answer, okay? But if you had a thought that there's something that God actually owes you, then the rest of this sermon is going to be really difficult for you to hear. And the rest of this series is really going to be difficult for you to hear. And agape love is going to continue to be an impossible adventure in your life. Because the reality is, God doesn't owe you a thing. And a lot of the problems we have in relationships or in Christianity in general is because we think God owes us something. And then when he doesn't perform how we thought he should perform, it's easy to write ourselves off as a victim and stay hating him for the rest of our lives. God owes you zilch. He owes you zilch. And that is tricky, but good news, right? He doesn't owe you anything. And that's something that I've had to renew in my mind. Okay, so if that's hard for you to renew in your mind this morning, fear not. You're in good company, because this is something that was needing to be transformed in my mind as well. The reality that God doesn't owe me anything. Because here's why. Because God doesn't owe us anything, and he didn't owe us anything. But 2,000 years ago, he still gave us everything. And that reality has changed my perspective regarding God. It really has. Because it was easy for me before to think, well, God should do this, right? I give money, he should bless me. I go to church, he should bless me, right? I worship him, he should bless me. But the reality is, he doesn't owe me a thing. He didn't owe me anything, but yet he still gave me everything. And it's changed my perspective regarding a lot of things in life, but mostly it's changed how I interact with him now. Reality that he didn't owe me anything, but yet he gave me everything, okay? All right, so transactional versus transformational relationships. Stephen, what in the world are you talking about? Well, a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to go see a guy by the name of Joe Ehrman speak in Sioux Falls. Got invited through FCA. And I invited my athletic director that I was working under at the time to come with me. And just thought it'd be a great opportunity to go and hear a good speaker. Didn't know much about him. And just sounded like it was going to be a good conference. And the school was willing to send us. And so we said, hey, let's do this, right? And so went to see Joe Ehrman speak. Joe Ehrman is an author. He wrote this book right here. That's why his picture's on the front of it. He's a coach for a large national high school team that plays on a national level. That means they play not only in their state of Ohio, but they fly to like Florida and Hawaii and play a national schedule. So it's kind of a big deal school kind of thing. Played in the NFL for the Indianapolis Colts, played for Syracuse. He was a two-sport athlete at Syracuse. He played football and he played lacrosse for Syracuse. Anyway, so Joe's wrote this book called Inside Out Coaching. And this is where I got my idea regarding transactional versus transformational relationships, because I hadn't heard anything about this prior to going to hear Joe speak and prior to reading his book. And I did read his book, which is a huge thing for me to say, because I can count probably on two hands, maybe one hand, the number of books that I've read in my life, apart from the Bible. Okay? I don't choose to read. Okay? And so I did read this book, and boy, howdy, did it affect me a lot. Because his book is all about going from being a transactional coach to be a transformational coach. And this isn't a coaching speech by any means, but it's going to get me to my point here. And so first of all, I had to wrap my brain around this. You know, what is a transaction? Anybody know what a transaction is? An exchange, yeah. Yeah, usually money for goods is probably the one that comes up to your mind, right? You walk into McDonald's, you say, five. She says, $5. You hand her $5, she hands you the Happy Meal, and you walk out the door, happy with your meal, right? Transactional, goods or service in exchange for money. Transactional, okay? And so versus what's transformation? What's transformation? Change. Change. Not pocket change, but change, like caterpillar into butterfly, like tadpole into toad, like old Stephen into new Stephen. Okay? Transformation. And Joe, in his book, he talks about how, as coaches, we have a platform. And as Christians, we have a platform. And as teachers, we have a platform. And as husbands, we have a platform. And as wives, we have platforms. And as children, we have platforms. And it's our choice what we're going to do with those platforms that we're given. Okay? You have an in on somebody's life. I don't know if you know this or not. Okay? You have an in. You have a foot in the door in somebody else's life. For a reason. And so Joe, in his book, he talks about how as coaches, a lot of times we use our platform for transactional relationships, right? Transactional coaches, what they'll do, they'll use their platform to, gratify their needs and their desires. Okay, I remember hearing this at a banquet one time. Oh, it made me mad. It made me mad. I had to have a calm down Stephen moment because I was listening to a basketball coach talk to this banquet of athletes and talked about how you guys got me to state. That was the speech. You guys got me to state. And I thought, oh my goodness, they should have left you there. Because she was using her platform as a coach to transact something. I coach you, you perform well, I get to go to state and have a merit on my, you know, scarf of merit badges, okay? Right? Because I coach you, you do something for me. I'm coaching you to get gratified in some way. And as people, a lot of times our relationships can be transactional, where we're doing something in exchange. We want something out of the relationship. Okay, I'm going to do something for you so that eventually you do something for me. Anybody ever watch the Godfather trilogy? One of my favorite movie series, right? Vito Corleone in Godfather Part 2, okay? Shameless movie plug here. But he's all about doing favors for people. So that one day when he comes calling, what are they going to do for him? A favor. There's an exchange. Does he care about that person? No. It looks like he's caring about that person because he's doing a favor for them. But he's only doing the favor so that he can gratify some need that he's going to have later on down the road. And Kirk, you said it. A lot of times, that's our mindset going into a marriage. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put up with a wedding day and flowers and fancy clothes and food and relatives and all that jazz in exchange for something, right? And we walk into relationships a lot of times thinking, what's the transaction going to be? What am I going to get out of this? Versus a transformational relationship where I walk into a relationship solely for the purpose of changing your life. And that's what Joe is trying to get to in his book with Inside Out Coaching. He wanted to get coaches to move from a transactional platform to a transformational platform. Because a lot of times in transactional relationships, we do unto others based on what's been done to us. And that's what he's trying to do in this book. And it's a great read, even if you're not a coach. I'm going to plug this book, okay? And if you want my copy, have at it, okay? I bought a copy for every single one of my coaches on staff, and I said, read it. And some of my coaches read it and loved it. Some of my coaches read it and hate it, and then they weren't coaches on my staff anymore, okay? But that's all right, because I still loved them anyway, okay? But part of it was not getting the picture here, okay? That we have a platform, what are we going to do? And you don't have to be a preacher to have a platform. You don't have to be a coach to have a platform. You don't have to be a teacher to have a platform. All you got to be is breathing. The only prerequisite for having a platform to reach into somebody's life and help transform it is breathing. And most of you, all of you actually, have passed the test so far today. Okay? So here, go and be certified. You are certified to reach into somebody's life and see it change today. Okay? Because you're passing the test. Now, if you pass out suddenly, then somebody else will have to take your place, all right? Okay? But you're passing the test so far, okay? So transactional relationships, I've already said this, right? In transactional relationships, right, the focus is on meeting my personal needs, okay? Or meeting our own personal needs. I do things to get something in return. There's a transaction that takes place. In a transactional relationship, it's a simple exchange. It's a simple exchange. You or I perform according to some set of demands, and I get something in return, right? That's transaction, okay? I speak five, you say $5, I hand you $5, you hand me Happy Meal, okay? It is a simple exchange. It is a simple exchange. It almost involves little to no human contact at all, okay? Walk through the grocery line at Teals. They scan your items. They say $28. You swipe. They hand receipt. You walk out the door. Almost no human interaction required. Transactions take place all the time. But maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's more. Maybe there's more out there. Just saying. Transformational relationships, on the other hand, in transformational relationships, the focus is on placing each other's needs above our own. In a transformational relationship, this ain't a simple exchange. This is a complex exchange that takes time, energy, effort, and agape love, and Holy Spirit, and God, and Jesus, and anything else you can throw into the mix. Okay? Transformational relationships, it's a complex exchange because here's what we're doing. We're trying to help each other get rid of old lies and old beliefs that we have about ourselves and exchanging them for the Imago Dei that we were created with. We're trying to get rid of any unhealthy or inaccurate views of self with the truth of God, or with the truth of who God created you and I to be. And right now in Sunday school, Trish is teaching my little kiddos back there about the belt of truth, okay? Which ain't just about holding your pants up, okay? It's about keeping all things together, because lies try to tug on that thing and try to catch you with your pants down, okay? And try to get you exposed and vulnerable. But she's going to be teaching those little kiddos about that belt of truth. That's the identity that you've been, that's been placed inside of you. When Jesus put his Holy Spirit inside of you, there was an identity in there. There was a divine sperma, is what John says in his epistle. Okay? Where there's a seed that's been planted that carries in it the DNA which you were created for. And that's what's growing inside of you and meant to grow inside of you. But we stifle it, or we water it with lies, and then we don't flourish and grow the way that we're supposed to. And so in a transformational relationship, it's about, hey, no. That's not true about you. That's not true about you. Come on. Here's the view that God has for you. Here's the seed that he's planted in you. Let's work on growing that right now. Let's work on showing that right now, okay? And that's the exchange that has to happen or take place in a transformational relationship, okay? It's this idea that I'm going to help you be the you you are meant to be in a transformational relationship. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. There's a choice. There's a choice here. Because it can stay, your relationships can stay transactional. They really can. They really can. Like, for instance, my job as a teacher. I do what I'm supposed to do. The business office gives me a paycheck. A transaction has taken place. There's a transactional relationship. Okay? And I have the choice of keeping my relationship with the business office transactional. I work, you pay. Okay? Or I can go into the business office and get to know the ladies behind the paycheck and work on a transformational relationship instead. And every relationship you and I have, there is a choice. Are we going to keep this thing transactional? Or are we going to make this thing transformational? The choice is yours, but maybe there's a better way than just making it about a transaction. You scan my grocery items, I pay money, walk out the door, okay? It doesn't have to stay transactional. Let's move into transformational relationships. Okay? Motivation in 3G. What in the world do I mean by that? Okay? Well, so we want to move from transactional relationships to transformational relationships. That's the goal, right? But I realize that a lot of times our relationships are going to be marked by 3 G's, okay? What are the 3 G's, Stephen? Well, I'm glad you asked. Thank you for asking, okay? They are guilt, gain, and grace. What forms the basis for your actions in a relationship? Are you doing something out of guilt? Are you doing something out of gain? Or are you doing something out of grace? Let's dive into these three, okay? Guilt. Oofta. We had a great conversation about guilt 2 Wednesday nights ago, and John, I'm going to quote you here. John said, guilt is a tricky thing. True story. It is a tricky thing, okay? Guilt can pressure you into doing something, and guilt can pressure you out of doing something, okay? It works both ways. It can either get you to do something, or it can keep you from doing something, okay? That's guilt, okay? Now, transactional relationships, I say this, they thrive on guilt, okay? That transactional relationship, it thrives on guilt. I use guilt to motivate transactional relationships or keep transactional relationships going all the time. But that's not the way it should be, okay? So why, though? Why is guilt capable of making a transactional relationship thrive? Anybody have a thought brewing in your brain of how guilt keeps a transactional relationship going? Everybody at once. That's all right. Calm down, everybody. Just calm down, okay? Just speak one at a time so we can hear you, okay? Well, here's a thought I had. Guilt allows for an unhealthy form of control. Just going to say that. Guilt is all about control. And so if you are motivated by guilt or you motivate through guilt, it's an unhealthy form of control. And that's why it's going to fuel transactional relationships. Guilt creates an opening for bitterness to step in. And we got to be careful that we're not allowing stuff like guilt to motivate us in relationships. In his book, Joe, it's funny, he's talking about different transactional types of coaches. And one of them he calls the saint, right? And it's like, wait, a saint? How would a saint be transactional in their relationships? Well, in his theory, a lot of times what looks like saintly deeds, we're actually doing it because we're trying to avoid guilt, okay? We're going to do and serve and serve and do and do and serve and do and serve because we don't want to feel guilty, okay? And there's still a transaction that's taking place because I do and serve, and you help me not feel guilty. See how that works? A transaction still took place. Transformation didn't take place because you're not supposed to be motivated by guilt. A transaction took place. And it looks on the surface like, oh, that person, they're such a servant in the body of Christ. And God's saying, yes, I just wish they could see it too. In all honesty, okay? Okay, guilt, we want to be careful not to be, blop, blop. We don't want to be a judge, and we don't want to be a fugitive, okay? Judges, they're the ones that dole out the guilt. I'm going to get you to do stuff by making you feel guilty, okay? You forgot this, you forgot to do this, okay? You better do this, okay? Judges will use guilt to motivate you. Okay? They'll dole out guilt for the sake of getting you to move in a relationship. Fugitives, you know what fugitives do? When they see guilt coming, what are they going to do? They're going to bolt. They avoid guilt at all cost. So if I do and serve and serve and do, I'll avoid guilt. I'm going to go to this. I just got to go to this because otherwise I'm going to feel guilty if I don't.
Guilt.
Stop being a fugitive. Okay? They're both bad. The judge is bad. The fugitive is bad. Okay? And hopefully I'm not using, now, aren't you using guilt, Stephen, to motivate us right now to not be a judge or a fugitive? Sorry. Calm down. Sorry. I'm speaking to me right now, just saying, okay? Remember a couple weeks ago? Oh, I don't even remember, but this sermon stuff is not a soapbox, okay? This isn't because I have this together. This is because this is what God's trying to grow in me, okay? So if I ever look like I'm going, got it all together, false, okay? And so we got to be careful. Don't be the judge. Don't dole out the guilt, but don't be the fugitive who tries to avoid it at all costs by doing things. Because then if I can just stay ahead of the guilt, it won't catch me. Sorry, it already caught you, and you've been ensnared and trapped in it for years. Break free from it, okay? I don't like that statement. I don't like that next statement. If you keep track of the sacrifices you are making, or the sacrifices that other people aren't making, then you are operating at a transactional level through the power of guilt. And I don't like that statement. If you don't like that statement, join the party. But it's true. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not true. Okay? Three G's. Guilt, the first one. Gain. Oh dear. Gain. Gain is all about being focused on how we might benefit from something. In a relationship, maybe my motivation is gain, right? What am I going to get out of this transaction, okay? I'm going to be nice to so-and-so that later on, right? Vito Corleone, I'm going to do you a favor so that someday you're going to owe me a favor, okay? Gain is all about making sure that we're going to benefit somehow in this process, okay? But gain has two sides to it, because gain also increases your fear of loss. If you look at relationships, what you're going to get out of the relationship, and the same side, you're going to be also weighing what the relationship is going to cost you. And remember, agape love costs you everything, but it's never wasted. And so we can't be motivated by gain, right? And transactional relationships thrive on gain. Right? And I ask why, but there was too many of you talking at one time before, so I'm just going to tell you why, okay? I'm just going to just dive into it, right? Because here's the deal. It elevates needs. Gain elevates my needs. It elevates my needs way above your needs. And here's the deal. It places value in the relationship. It places the value on the benefits and not on the relationship, and definitely not on the individual. Gain is focused on, what am I going to get out of this? Or what is this going to cost me? Okay? And so with gain as our motivator, we got to be careful. We don't want to be the broker, and we don't want to be the cheapskate. Okay? Brace yourself, El Cheapo, back there in the sound booth. Speaking to you, Mr. Kirk. Okay? Don't worry. This isn't... anything directed at you, okay? Okay? Captain Frugal! Sorry. Anyway, inside joke, sorry. So don't be a broker, don't be a cheapskate, because brokers, what do? They exploit and leverage relationships. They're going to exploit the relationship, they're going to leverage the relationship in order to get something out of it, right? They're going to make the gain, the maximum gain, the end-all goal. Remember what I said about the coach at the banquet that I was listening to, right? You guys got me to state. She was in it to win it for herself. Right? How would that speech have changed if they hadn't got her to state? You good-for-nothing lazy kids, basketball players, your jokes, right? Okay? As I was in it to win it for me, right? And that's the broker. The broker, he's looking for maximum gain. What can I get out of this? The cheapskate, uh-oh, what's the cheapskate going to do? Well, just like the fugitive runs from guilt, the cheapskate is going to run from anything that looks like it might cost them more than a few bucks, or more than a few nights, or more than a couple hours, or more than one phone call. The cheapskate is going to flee as the stakes for loss increase. But remember, agape love is never wasted, and it will eventually cost you everything. And it sounds difficult, but it's actually impossible, apart from God. Okay? And so we don't want to be the broker. We don't want to use our relationships to leverage and to exploit to get something in return. But we also don't want to be the cheapskate where, oh my goodness, this is going to be a messy deal. This person's messy. This relationship is messy. This whole deal is messy. And I just don't want to deal with this right now kind of thing. We don't want to be the cheapskate. Okay? They're going to avoid opportunities based out of their fear for loss. And I don't like this statement either. Okay, so if you don't like it, join the party. But if your concern is how a relationship is going to benefit you or what it might cost you, then you're operating at a transactional level. And you can stay at the transactional level. You really can. Okay? You can stay there. You can keep all your relationships there. You're just going to be at the transactional level. Okay? We're just going to keep this on the surface. Okay? You can keep them there. Or you can choose a better way and go for the transformational level, which brings us to our third G, grace. 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 Grace needs to be our motivation in relationships. Grace, what does that deal with? Well, grace places the emphasis where it needs to be. It's on the life that can be changed, right? Grace places emphasis on how a life can be changed, but not how the life looks right now. Okay? Okay? The focus is on how this relationship can be changed, not how it looks right now. That's grace. Grace puts no demand on anything that has been given. There's no demands with grace. It's given freely. Okay? But transformational relationships, if we're going to goal, if the goal is going towards transformational relationships, grace is the ticket. But why? Again, I'll tell you, I won't leave you hanging, I promise. Because Jesus gave everything freely. Okay? Jesus gave everything freely so that we can live empowered lives, so that we can empower the lives around us. Remember, you have an in somebody else's life. You have the foot in the door, okay? And a lot of times when we're in those situations, we think, man, I wish they would come to our church. Huh? Or, man, I wish they would meet my pastor. Well, they don't meet your pastor and they don't come to our church, but they see you and they've met you and you're the one with the in and the foot in the door. So maybe, just maybe, Jesus empowered you to be you so that they can be they, right? And that's the idea here with transformational relationships, okay? They thrive on grace. I love Matthew 10, verse 8, okay? It's all about Jesus is sending out the 12, okay? Go and do. He's sending the 12 out to go and do, go and do, go and do, go and do, right? And I love this. He finishes his big speech to them by saying this. Listen to these words. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so therefore freely give. Okay? He gave everything to us freely so that we can live empowered lives purely for the sake of empowering the lives around us. Okay? That's the goal there. You know, think about it like this. I don't know if this works. This just popped into my brain. So hold on. This might be good. This might be dumb. Okay? But this just popped into my mind, right? Right? Last week, Kirk, you were talking about load-bearing walls. And I think somebody in the crowd, when you said, before I take a wall out, I got to check for if it's, and you were waiting for the answer being load bearing, but not everybody here knows that concept. Somebody yelled, electricity, right? Okay, I don't know who did, no worries, okay? Your voice was indistinguishable online, so therefore you will not suffer any shame for what you just said, okay? But think about that, right? Think about that. Why is electricity in the wall? It's there for a purpose, right? It's not like we put power lines in the wall and then just seal them up and say, all right, there's electricity in the wall. Perfect. It's there to be used, right? And a lot of times, that's what we are. We're just electrical lines hanging in a wall, hiding out till the rapture happens. You've been empowered for a purpose, folks. You've been empowered for a purpose to empower other people so that they can daisy chain off of your circuit, right? I'm plugged in so you can plug into me so somebody can plug into you and so on and so forth and so forth. And we're just going to blow the ohms out of here, okay? Sorry for the electrical joke, okay? But that's the idea, is that we become this connection. And it's not wrong to want people to meet your pastor, and it's not wrong for people to want to meet your church, but what if that day never happens and all they have to do is meet you? All they got is you. You are the in. You are the foot in the door. Like it or not, it's a choice, though. You can choose to keep it transactional, or you can choose to make it transformational. Grace isn't a don't be. It's a do be. It's a do be like Jesus, okay? Some of you were thinking Doobie Brothers there for a second. I had to get you off that track, okay? It's do be like Jesus, okay? Do be like Jesus, right? That's the goal here. We want to be like Jesus, okay? Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, what did Jesus do? He died for us. He didn't wait for us to become righteous and then die for us. The death on the cross was not a righteous kill. It wasn't, okay, you're good now. Now I can die and go back to heaven. No, 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 no. You're bad. You're really bad. You are horribly bad. I'm dying so you can be who I've created you to be. And that's the ticket here. That's what we're supposed to do. We got to be like Jesus. And here's the deal. This is the goal here. And you might not like this one too, all right? But that's all right. If you do something purely in a relationship for the sake of making someone else's life better, and you don't expect anything in return, then you are operating at the goal. You're operating at that transformational level. And again, this is a choice. You can keep your relationships transactional. You really can, okay? But there might be a better way. And maybe God's stirring in you like he's been stirring in me to say, you know what? I'm done with transactions. It's time for some transformations to take place, okay? And let that be an encouragement to you, okay? That this is something God's trying to grow in me. And maybe, just maybe, it's something he's trying to grow in us together through this concept of family. I'm going to leave you with this passage. If you want to open in your Bible, this is in Luke 14, but I have it on the screen for you too. Luke 14 is a great passage of scripture. Jesus, he's at a Pharisee's house again. Okay, I'm just going to give you some context here. He's been invited to eat at the Pharisees, and I was telling Kirk this week, it amazes me how many times a story in the New Testament or in the Gospels begins with Jesus was eating with a Pharisee, or Jesus was eating with a teacher of the law, or Jesus was... It's not like he just came for the poor and the wretched, okay? If you think that Jesus didn't come to save the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law and everybody else in between, you're wrong, okay? His grace was not exclusive. Okay? Because if his grace had been exclusive, I'm pretty sure I missed the cut. Just saying. His grace couldn't be exclusive. It wasn't exclusive. He poured it out freely for us. And so Jesus is sitting there, and the story starts out with he's brought to the table, and he sits down, and they sit a guy with dropsy. I don't know if you know what dropsy is. Dropsy is when you, it's like an edema of some sort where you get fluid built up, okay? Your knee swells up with water, okay? Or your ankle swells up with water. You get fluid in there, okay? Anytime you do a sprain, get a severe sprain or tear a ligament or you get a nick in what's called a bursa sac or something like that, fluid seeps out into the wound and it swells, right? And so there's this guy here who's got some sort of an edema. And it's so pronounced that Jesus can see it, because remember, he'd be wearing like a tunic, right? He'd be wearing this tunic, so he'd be pretty much clothed from wrist to ankles. So it had to be some sort of an edema, okay? It must have been a pretty big swelling, okay? And the Pharisees set this guy here at the table across from Jesus because they're going to watch him. They're keeping their eyes open because it's the Sabbath. And guess what Jesus isn't supposed to do on the Sabbath? He's not supposed to heal somebody. What? What? Because healing somebody looks like work, okay? And so you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, so therefore you shouldn't heal on the Sabbath, okay? Weird, okay? And so they set this guy here. Well, guess what Jesus does? He heals him. He asks him first. He's like, what should I do? Well, they don't answer, okay? Because they know that if they answer, their motives are going to be found out, okay? And so he heals them, right? And then he goes on to tell the story about an ox being trapped in a pit and how once you pull it out, even if it was on the Sabbath, because that animal there is struggling, like pull it out, duh, right? Okay? And then he goes on and he talks about how people at this table are all choosing these places of honor. And why do you exalt yourself only to be humbled? Instead, and he uses this phrase, it's going to show up in Luke quite a bit, but he who humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself will be humbled, right? But Jesus keeps going because he's on a roll here now, okay? Because he's just addressed two of the motivations we have in relationship. He addressed guilt, right? Should I heal this guy or not? He addressed gain, choosing your spots at the table, and then he's going to throw a grace at them, okay? And he directs his attention to the person who's throwing the feast, who invited him in the first place. And he looks at him, he says this. He said to the host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your friends. Now, don't feel guilty if you invited a friend over for dinner, okay? Please, okay? Jesus is trying to prove a point here, okay? Bear with the point, okay? Don't invite your friends, your brothers or your relatives, or your rich neighbors, right? And this has got to be getting the host because he's looking around like, well, that's exactly who I invited, right? Right? Look at the table, Jesus. That's exactly who I invited, okay? Okay? Like that's exactly who's here. Why? If you do, look, they're going to invite you back. So you're going to be repaid. But again, hold on for Jesus' message because there's more to the surface, because somebody would make a weird doctrine out of this. All right, I'm never going to invite my friends or relatives over for dinner now. Gotta follow the word of God. Gotta follow God's truth. Never going to invite a friend over for dinner. Honey, we are banned from inviting friends over for dinner. Children, it's going to be a sin. If you ever invite a friend over to dinner, you are going to burn in hell, folks. Okay? Weird doctrines get made up all the time. Okay? Hold on for the rest of the story. Right? Why is he saying this? Because you're looking for repayment. He's looking at the host because he knows what the host's motives were. He held this luncheon to get something in return. Okay? He's looking for something. There's a reason he invited Jesus to the dinner. Okay? He's got something wrong in his motives. Okay? But Jesus says this, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame, invite the lepers, invite anybody, the blind, you name it, and then you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now, unfortunately, the host, the people at the table, and the disciples didn't necessarily get this at the time. But Jesus was trying to hint at grace being the motivator for what we do. Agape love is about to be the, it should be the motivator for what we do. And he's getting ready to show them real agape love on a cross. But he's trying to tell them in the process. He's trying to introduce it to them through this story in hopes that through this story they'll kind of get an idea of what he's talking about. It's not when I do something in relationships, I can't do it out of guilt. I can't do it out of gain. I need to do it out of grace if the goal is transformation. If the goal is transaction, then by all means, guilt away and gain away. But if you want your relationships to move to a new level, a better level, if you want those relationships to become transformational, then we got to start operating in grace. And it sounds difficult because it's actually impossible apart from Holy Spirit and Jesus living inside of you.